football on off the ball.
Yes, this is the issue of international management, isn't it? It's not that easy to find tests against the big teams and can't replicate the competitive environment of a World Cup or a Euro, yeah, particularly a World Cup.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
The News Round on Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
How's it going? Just about to go 3 minutes past seven this Monday evening. Tommy Rooney here in the Off the Ball hot seat. Delighted to be joined by Arthur O'Dea and Stephen Doyle. Fellas, how are we?
Great form, Tommy. Great form.
Flying.
All things considered.
Another cracking weekend of sport. It's hard to know where to start. Where would you go, Arthur? What was your sporting highlight of the weekend? Because there's so many of them.
I was delighted for Mayo. I thought they were brilliant.
Yeah, that was a pretty impressive win for Mayo on Saturday evening. Stephen, we were actually voting loud on Friday night.
Yes. Well, I was at Croker yesterday, so as my unbiased view, I cannot say yesterday was a highlight. Of course it wasn't. But my highlight of the weekend, actually being in Louth on Friday night, watching the Louth derby between Drogheda United and Dundalk, was at Oriel Park, of course. And obviously the win for Drogheda United is a highlight, but Shane Farrell's second goal to seal the win, he got the two goals, free kick, but the volleyed winner was incredible, and especially because of the fact that you've gotten so much abuse from the home fans, and there was no Drogheda United supporters there, as we know why. So for him to be able to kind of run over to the shed side and celebrate that brilliant winner, the goal that sealed the win, probably a bit of a highlight.
I'm surprised you had anyone there, given the fact that Louth were in an All-Ireland semi-final the next day, and they were, the county just went buck mad for it. And it was a great story, that Louth journey, but it ended for them on Saturday. It ended for Dublin too. We'll get back to that in a minute. But I'll tell you one thing, lads. My highlight of the weekend, and maybe I'm a little biased because I was in Crow Park. It's this. Have a listen.
My lover's got humour.
Is he going to go for goal? Yes, he does! And it's a draw game!
The Comachines have done it again!
I talk about dreams. I never thought that I'd get to walk on the steps of the Hogan to lift a title with a week club.
Proud to be in that change room with them.
I want the expectation and I want a bit of pressure. There's only one team that comes out right side of it.
It wasn't a words of wisdom. We just got dug in.
Kick this as far as you can. Kick and it. Let's hope we can win it.
We weren't expecting this.
All anyone wants in life is a bit of hope.
Oh, we're just trying to get our breath here. We're a point in front.
It's now 2:14. Wicklow 1:17. And Crow Park is on wheels.
That's not an excuse for half and half jersey, you don't know what it is.
Yeah. Credit to Wicklow, this could be a classic.
It's massive, it's absolutely massive.
Not the most high-profile Gaelic game of the weekend, but by God, one of the greatest comebacks I've certainly ever witnessed in Crow Park, just given the madness of how poor they were in the first half and Down's utter collapse in the second half. The Wicklow footballers got their moment in the sun with a really dramatic Tatchin Cup win, and Emma Carroll working the wizardry there for us on the sound design, and you'll hear the sounds of Off the Ball's coverage and East Coast FM's commentary too. Stephen, you're living in Wicklow.
I am indeed. Good Wicklow man on the soundtrack there as well, of course, Hosier.
Forgot that.
Yeah.
I thought it was Tornin McConnery in the boxer. There was his Hosier.
Yeah, living down in Wicklow, of course, proud dub that I am. I've got a 3-year-old son who, of course, is going to have to follow Wicklow because that's his home county, but he can fall back in the dubs because of his dad as well when he's older.
They had a big crowd there,
maybe,
Stephen.
He won't have to.
Did it register? Did they get behind the team, did you think?
Yeah, well, do you know what, Tommy, I was saying to you earlier in the office in Louth Friday night, and it was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant going into Louth. I park up at the railway station when I'm heading up to Oriel Park and park the car. First thing I got out, and the railway station is completely decked out in red and white, up Louth, here, there and everywhere. Went down to the match at Oriel Park, and on the way there was flag bunting sellers selling the Louth stuff, chatting to people in the ground, and I was like, kind of, a couple of the local journalists were saying there'd be a good few, you know, and they said, look, yeah, she's like 80% of the people at this game and Drogheda United support as well. We'll all be at Croker as well. So it just felt like this was, you know, the heartbeat of the country on Friday night. Loud was as we built up to that match against Mayo with the Connacht Derby before it. And then Saturday, brought the little fella myself and himself always go for the haircut together down.
Brilliant.
To Delta Greystones.
What a lovely tradition. I love that. That's class.
So we were down the barber shop and funnily enough, one of the lads cutting the hair had his Bray Wanderers gear on. They were after having a big 6-0 win on the Friday night. So he's buzzing. And then they stuck the Tailteann Cup final match on the TV. And you're kind of going, oh, Jesus.
They probably nearly switched it off.
This isn't looking good, lads. But then the comeback starts and you're going, holy mother of Jew, this is just unbelievable. And it's like, you could feel it yesterday driving around the county, it's just the buzz around the place and they had a brilliant homecoming in Aucklin. And listen, I won't pretend to know Oisín McConville really well, but I remember going to see Carr Frampton taking on Kiko Martinez up at the Titanic Slipway back in 2014. Massive, massive boxing night up in Belfast. And I just happened to be sitting beside Oisín and geez, we had the crack. Like he is just an absolute crack merchant. He is such a lovely fella. And any time I had to interview him over the years and all, he's great. I remember doing Cross McGlenn against Vincent's and all in club finals. And such. And I really wanted it for him on Saturday, as well as obviously living in Wicklow and you want Wicklow to win it. But to do it in the way they did, and you can tell, you'd know Tommy better than I because you've spoken to the Wicklow lads, the love they have for Oisín. And I actually listened to your interview with Healy, the goal scorer, and he was talking about, no, sorry, it was Oisín who mentioned in his interview with you afterwards when he spoke about that defeat in, it was the league.
Longford in the league,
it was the
yeah.
league defeat.
Yeah, they were nine and up, I think.
They went down the training yeah. the next night. Yeah. And it was almost, I was actually almost getting emotional listening to it when he spoke. It was like something of an American Hollywood film, wasn't it?
It was.
He turns up at the training
ground. It's like
Friday
Night Lights. It was like Coach.
Every single player Coach turned T. up, and it was just like, oh man, like it's such, there's so much, without sounding twee about it, like there's so much romance in that story, isn't there? Like it's brilliant.
Yeah, they actually have the same colours as the Panthers as well. I just wonder who Tim Riggins is. And Saracen. Yeah. Yeah, look, the Wicklow story is sensational and it's hard not to kind of be so happy for them. And I was in and around the dressing room and McConville's wife Dorina was there and his kids were all decked out in the blue and gold as well, and they've totally bought into it. But it's for the Wicklow kids. It's for it's for those kids who've never really seen their county experience moments like that. It's for the Hill, the lads on the Hill who totally like just took over the Hill in that kind of second half. And look, we'll talk about Down again and you kind of skim by the teams that have lose these games, but I don't know what that'll happen to Down in the long run. Maybe it'll be the making them in the long run in Division 2 next year, who knows. But Wicklow, Arthur, I wanted to start with Wicklow because I wanted to start on a positive note. I think you wanted to start with something a little different this evening.
No.
You wanted I'm to delighted. Go to the negative.
I'm delighted for Wicklow to have them because it's very important.
Yeah, it is important.
It's very important.
It's Division 4 team winning the Tailteann Cup.
Yeah, no,
it needed it too.
It's massive, yeah. All the way around. It's a massive accomplishment. No, don't be pegging that on me about starting negative. I suppose with some of the other stories from the weekend.
Hey.
That I just...
Yeah, and I'm being selfish here. I'm starting with Gaelic Games, but I'm sticking with Gaelic Games because I want to get
your call on
what you felt were the three big calls. And Ger Brennan was... Look, Jack O'Connor started by talking about Kerry being a little lucky, and Jack is the master of these post-match press conferences. There's been some really high-profile ones in the GA over the last couple of weeks and months. Jack just knows how to handle them. Ger Brennan came in and was very strong. Very strong in a lot of things. Very strong in the rollercoaster year, but particularly the big calls. And he actually called for video assistance to be brought in for referees to help them around these big decisions. Three big calls, Stephen. Number one was the penalty.
Yeah.
You're in the Hogan stand, you're watching it yesterday. So what did you make of the penalty?
I was in the lower Hogan and funny enough, actually, quick one on Jack Connor. It was interesting, he did start off with that. But then immediately went into yerraying about the Mayo forward line, which is just, you talk about a complete master indeed.
There was a couple of moments in the background in the press conference. Yeah. Somebody laughed in the press box, in the press room. I don't know who laughed when he did it, but the words were barely out of his mouth and Jack was stony faced. And someone, one of my colleagues in the GAA journalism world started laughing. I don't know who it was.
Some boy up. But yeah, look, briefly, so first half, I'm in line with the goal where the penalty was given. And my first reaction was, oh, I'm not too sure about that. That looks like it. I don't think that was a penalty. Now, you're obviously watching it live, so you can't say for absolute definite whether it was or not. I have to say in the replay, Padraig Coughlin-Byrne is a big lad. He is a big lad, and it was almost like the Kerry man falls into him. And I don't think there was enough. I don't think he was sideways enough to say that's a penalty. So look, my opinion was it wasn't.
That's what the blue goggles on.
I honestly, I'm looking at this again.
It wasn't black and white.
It was softish. But I get why the penalty was given. So I would give that to the officials.
So the square ball thing, I have to say, I hadn't even, because I was in line with that goal then for the second half, and I wasn't too sure about that. I hadn't really picked up on the square ball.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of thinking, did it go beyond the line? Had Comerford kept it out?
Now, Comerford delays his kick out and he keeps pointing up at the big screen. And I thought Coley was actually going to look up. And to be honest, Arthur, Stephen Sander, watching back the replays, I think of the three, Sean O'Brien's goal is the problem. That's the big one. And we might get to the ball that nearly crossed the line, did it cross the line or not. To me, the square ball one is the banker, the one they got to get right, especially when the Dubs are three up at the time.
Yeah, and there's so few rules that are so black and white, you don't even need interpretation.
It's a messy rule.
There's no interpretation. Yeah, I know, and I know it can be tough, but like, I still don't know why. I don't know. Maybe we need like a referee and their team on to explain how this works. Like, do they keep an eye? Is someone charged with keeping an eye when a ball is kicked? Like, I appreciate that's really tough. And like, you see now, when since we have VAR, like in football, like how many offside calls. It's a lot more margin. But anyway, it's one of the few that are a complete black and white. And I think Dublin have every reason to feel incredibly aggrieved.
Over that one?
Of course. The other ones are kind of open to interpretation. You might think it's a penalty, you might not. That's fine.
And
the ball crossed the line, like, we still don't know for sure one way or another.
You can see the, and look, I was at the other end, so watching the game was impossible to tell. Like, there was a big scramble, thinking, how the hell is that ball? Yeah. How have we not scored here from this situation? But when you do see that that shot from the camera in the nets, I think one thing people should keep in mind
is... Paul Flynn was saying it was a clear goal. It definitely wasn't a clear goal.
You see this thing, it's kind of inconclusive in the way that ball that went off the Fox camera during the England-Norway game is inconclusive. The one thing I would say is the camera is in the back of the net.
Mm.
It's not in line with the post.
No, you can't tell.
So you can't tell. The other thing I'd say is, and look, I know they're volunteers, and I don't know, the umpire is 2 yards behind the net.
Mm.
Like, you got to be in line with the goal to make these calls. So like the referee is, he's kind of like not helped out by the umpire being so far behind it. The one thing I'd say in Jers, obviously, Ger Brennan's comments, the thing that is picked up on is the VAR, and that's been the big story. But he did come in and say, there's two things, lads. We didn't have our shooting boots today, was one of them. And that is the thing I would be looking at, because...
That was the first thing he said, by the way.
It was. And I think that's the thing I would feel coming out of it, that Dublin just didn't perform as well, especially with 2-pointers as they had against Donegal and Galway. But the one thing I will say is, the last thing what I would think Ger Brennan would say to those players in the dressing room and not in public is, lads, he's been absolutely done here by the officials. We could have beaten Kerry if those decisions had gone our way next year. Well, and that's how he's going to motivate that panel going into 2027.
Yeah. We did ask him, Stephen, in the press conference. Can't remember which of the lads in the papers asked him. Could have been Conor McKeown or John Fogarty. Would there be any retirements?
Mm.
And Ger had not been back in the dressing room in the intervening period, but it has since emerged that a true lake of Ballyoclia has called it a day.
Yeah, the six-time football all-star Kieran Kilkenny has brought the curtain down on his inter-county career. The Dublin forwards won six all-stars, as I mentioned, across a 14-year stint, which also saw him win 8 All-Ireland medals, 13 Leinsters and 6 National Leagues. The Castleknock club man says his time in Sky Blue has been the greatest honour of his life. His former teammate and current manager, Brennan, added that Kilkenny was a huge leader and embodied all that is great in a Dublin inter-county footballer.
He's just, honestly, one of the greats, and we'll get stuck into his career and his life and times and what he's done for Dublin football, but we're going to talk about his club, but also like a Gaelgeor and just an ambassador for everything that's good about the games. There was a beautiful line at the end of a statement. Magro shiv, mara harla she, vina knik savalia, evadnis glasha, in yara nadala. The grass is greener. And it was greener for Ciarán. Mm. And it not always is, but it was. And what a decision that was that he made. And talk about sliding doors in sport. But like, was Ciarán Kilkenny's decision to come back from the AFL and reintegrate with the Dubs back around 12-13 one of those little grains of rice that tipped the scales in terms of chasing that five in a row? Like, it could be, because it is, the margins are still fine.
Mm.
The Mayo team, they've beaten lose Pierce Hanley, you know? He went the other way and he had a fabulous career in Australia, and the Dubs regained Ciarán Kilkenny, who was the leading light of the boys of 93. The likes of Kilkenny, McCaffrey, Small, Fenton. Even Brian Fenton said today, I don't want to paraphrase him, so I might go get the quote properly, but he said that Kilkenny was the standard that he aspired, that he was the one that showed the way for that generation. And he was still doing it. Made his debut in an All-Ireland semi-final against Mayo, 2012. Ends his career in an All-Ireland semi-final, and in between picking up all those All-Ireland medals. What a man.
Yeah, Andy Moran mentioned him, didn't he, in his press conference? You were there after the Mayo win, because he was asked about, obviously, with Kobe and McDonald possibly going down, and Andy Moran spoke about how Ciarán Kilkenny was, you know, had been down, had a look around, and then came back and played in championship for Dublin. Yeah, like, listen, you know, I think everybody knows about the impact that he had on Dublin senior football. Was he unlucky maybe not to get a Football of the Year in 2016, 2017? Yep. I was looking. Look, I was on the Dublin club beat back in the 2010s.
Mm.
And like, I remember covering that 2016 Dublin Club Championship. Like, you had this Castleknock team in 2016 that had been a senior club for 2 years. They'd only been formed in 1998, 18 years previous. And they got to a final, having beaten some really big size, Oliver Plunkett's, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then St. Jude's, a real mainstay of Dublin football, in the semi-final. And like, Des Carlos would have been the big goal or point scorer for Castleknock in that year, but Ciarán Kilkenny was the absolute catalyst for that team to get to that Dublin club final.
5 years older than his club is Ciarán Kilkenny.
Yeah. And like, they lost by 5 points to St. Vincent's. There was no shame in that. Vinny's obviously the standard bearers of Dublin club football, but whatever about the impact he had on the national game, I just thought that particular year he was actually nominated for Football of the Year with Lee Keegan and Brian Fenton. Now, some Dublin people would say maybe he was robbed that year, but I'm not going to relitigate that one. Yeah. But listen, he was just superb, and I just thought it was worth mentioning, because we all know your club is where that's where you grow,
and it's where it'll end for Ciarán Kilkenny as well. I'm sure he'll be given so much back to Castleknock over the years, and we will hear from him at some stage, I'm sure. I'll be honest, I was in the tunnel at the Hogan Stand after the game, and I actually walked up to him and chanced my arm for an interview. Because sometimes with the Tyrone players the week beforehand, Darren McCurry, Matty Donnelly, Michael McKernan, they were so brilliant in defeat. Sometimes you get the best reactions afterwards. And look, it can be sensitive, it can be tough. I walked up to him and I just said, "Ciarán, just wondering, could you have a minute?" You know how it is, Stephen. Yeah, you're just chancing your arm. And he very politely said, "No, Tommy," but there were tears in his eyes. And Owen Merchant actually kind of grabbed me and he said, "Just a heads up, no one's going to talk." Mm. And he didn't have to say any more. I kind of knew what had happened and was sort of waiting for it this evening. But the entire team, they were devastated that they had fallen short and were very unlucky against Kerry. But I can only imagine what it was like in that dressing room when someone like Ciarán Kilkenny is telling you that he's calling it a day.
Yeah.
We'll keep going because Gaelic Games has dominated the news round so far. We've got loads coming up on the show. Fiona Hayes on rugby. We've got soccer with Kevin Caban as well. Ben Symes is going to pop in the studio later too. What else is happening, Stephen, in the world of sport?
Yeah, the tea time's out for the Open Championship, which begins on Thursday at Royal Birkdale. Tom McKibben, the first Irishman who will be out. The 23-year-old starts at 8:03 a.m. alongside Francesco Molinari and French amateur Lev Grimberg. Rory McIlroy has been grouped with Xander Schauffele and Matt Fitzpatrick for the first two rounds.
Nice.
That trio tees off at 3:15 on Thursday afternoon, while the defending champion Scotty Scheffler, who missed the cut in for the first time in 4 years at the Scottish Open on Friday, is out at 9:58 a.m. So McIlroy will get a good chance to look at him. Shane Lowry goes out with Brooks Koepka and the 2026 PGA Championship winner Aaron Rye for his opening two rounds, teeing off at 2.53 on day one. So the two big Irish names with some interesting pairings there. Two-time winner Paddy Carrington will play with Marco Penge and Michael Hollick for a 1.20 start on Thursday. Another former Irish winner, Darren Clark, goes out at 12.47. Two amateurs flying the Irish flag at Royal Birkdale. David Howard, the first out at 10.42 in the morning, while Offaly man Stuart Grehan will tee off at 12.14pm with the 2022 Open champion Cam Smith among his grouping. Now, McIlroy finished on a round of 64 at the Scottish Open, but had to settle for a share of 7th place, going 12 under across the weekend. He admitted after he finished in Scotland, he has issues to sort out looking ahead to this week.
You didn't finish the third round off today particularly well. Sort of pieced it together. Sort of realised what I was doing, tried to figure it out a bit on the range before I went out for my final round. At least I know what I'm doing. It's a matter of trying to sort of rectify it. And, you know, obviously there was some good in there today, but there was some bad as well. So, you know, I'm going to need to work a little bit over the next couple of days to be ready for Thursday.
Yeah, this is going to be a brilliant major this weekend. I'd love to put the feet up, sit in front of the TV and just watch it. Just the golf this weekend, but that ain't going to be possible because there's so much happening this weekend. But the 154th Open at Royal Birkdale, it's going to be a cracker.
Yep, cannot wait. And you're going to be a croaker for the hurling final.
Yeah, you've got there with Tommy Walsh on Sunday.
World Cup final.
I don't know when I'm going to squeeze that in.
Jeepers.
Yeah. So, it's going to be fun, Arthur. Who you got presenting Monday week?
No, you're not here. Don't worry about that. You're not here. No, we'll be fine. It's I don't like majors during the day, must admit.
Do you not?
Never warm to the Open for that reason.
Oh, really?
Okay, yeah. I always prefer it as a night thing. I always prefer it when it's in the US and the States on the Sunday.
I have to say it's my favourite sport to watch on TV.
It's just ridiculous.
Oh, I love it. I just find it so relaxing. Everything else, I'd love to be at everything else live. Just compared to the live experience of golf, it's very different. You don't get to see as much. Mm. I love watching golf on TV.
There's a lot of time. There's a lot of GA reporters all seem to love the golf. Too. Like, it just seems to be a thing. You're a big fan of it.
I don't know. Maybe it's just so different to what we're witnessing with
are you the GA golf club thingy that goes
no,
on?
I think my handicap's a little too high for that. I'm going to have to keep working on it.
Okay, you keep
maybe cracking. In the off season.
Yeah, you've got about 6 months now.
I swear, I haven't touched my clubs in 3 weeks, which is... I'm getting withdrawals.
Maybe get you, Jim McGuinness, Andy Moran, and John.
Hey,
from the Examiner, all out. John Fogarty, all out.
That'd be a good four ball, wouldn't it? We have a good crack. I'm going to text Fogarty now. We start organising it. It'd be a good crack. You keep going. Come on.
Yeah, Shelburne's search for a new head coach came to a conclusion today. John Russell appointed as the new boss of the SSE Airtricity Premier Division club, who say Russell has signed a long-term contract. He departs Sligo Rovers after a four-year stint with the club, replacing Joey O'Brien, who left the Shells job 3 weeks ago. Now, Russell is the only Rovers manager to have taken the club through two rounds of European competition. He took them to a fifth-place finish in his first season in charge, followed by eighth the following year, sixth in 2024. And seventh last season. He takes over Shell's side, currently fifth in the top flight and 8 points behind the European places. He'll be in the dugout when they face Kerry in the FAI Cup this Friday at Mount Hawke Park.
Big deal, yeah?
Yeah, like, I was talking to Arthur about this earlier on. Like, I think it's a good time for all parties involved for John to move on, because I watched the Connacht Derby on Saturday night. Sligo Rovers 2-0 down at Pearse Stadium. Came back to make it 2-2 and then got done by a goal and out of time to lose it. Bottom of the table, it feels like there's a growing voice around the Sligo Rovers support that are against John Russell and kind of were happy enough to see him go. So in that sense, maybe it's a good time. Also because, God, if they were to go down this season, you know, John Russell is now getting out, if that's going to happen, gets out before it happens. So he's still got a very good reputation within the game. He's a really lovely fella, I have to say. He's an honest broker. I think the players will all know where they stand with him at Talca Park. And as well as that, he's a really good coach. We know that. He coaches good football. But he was a bit hampered at Sligo Rovers because, and look, this is no disrespect to Sligo Rovers, we all know they operate in a small budget. So he doesn't have the kind of assistance, a technical director, all those kind of things that he will have at Shelburne. So he'll have an awful lot more time to do what the manager is supposed to be doing and less time maybe, you know, sitting up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning online researching players that he wants to bring into the club, all that kind of stuff. So I think this could be a really shrewd appointment by Shells.
Yeah. There's a couple of signings too, Stephen.
Yep,
today.
Old Trafford. You'll be happy to hear, Tommy. Manchester United have completed the signing.
Happy to hear. I'm not buying it until I see a couple of games later this year. We'll see what happens.
Andre Santos comes in for over €56 million. The Brazil international and fellow Premier League club Chelsea to sign a 5-year deal with the Red Devils. Santos was part of the blue squad that won the Club World Cup in 25 and made 43 appearances last season. They're also in advanced talks to sign Aston Villa midfielder Yuri Tielemans. The versatile midfielder was part of the Villa side that won last year's Europa League. And it's reported the United have triggered his international clause, the Belgian international's release clause of over €42 million. And it's also been confirmed Ederson won't be going to Old Trafford for now after a medical highlighted an injury-related issue.
There have been a couple of Premier League press conferences today from managers. Could you give us a flavour of one of them?
Yeah, Xabi Alonso has said he is keen on keeping Enzo Fernandez at Stamford Bridge. The Argentine midfielder has been linked with the move away. The former Liverpool midfielder revealed he's spoken to Fernandez but was coy on the detail of their conversation. He's also confirmed Alejandro Garnacho hasn't been involved in pre-season training due to interest from other clubs. And speaking for the first time since arriving at Chelsea, Alonso was asked if winning the Premier League title was possible in his first season in charge.
We need to build strong principles, a strong mentality and culture in the club. And time will tell. I'm not going to say what will happen in May. For me, it's absolutely too early to say that. But I'm confident, I'm optimistic to think that we can have a great season. And for that, it's time to prepare. It's time to work. It's try to be intelligent in many things. To hope that we have this belief. And to have this belief within the team, with our fans here in Stamford Bridge, will be very important.
Xabi Alonso chatting there. Plenty of comments coming in tonight as well, lads. If anyone wants to get in touch, we're on WhatsApp at 0879 180 180. You can get in touch across the show or leave us a comment on YouTube. Robbie has said, is this the year of the great comebacks in Gaelic football? Possibly. There's been a lot of crackers throughout the season. Certainly in Wicklow's season, there's been a hell of a lot of them. Shifty lads, delighted with your generous and genuine happiness for Wicklow winning on Saturday, lads. And in fairness, Paddy Andrews has always had our backs. Paddy has always picked Wicklow to win whenever he's had a prediction to make in any game this year. So fair play to Paddy. And Dermot Keenan, Tommy, I was in the Lower Hogan, the opposite end of Stephen, and even Kerry fans around us called a square ball as it happened. To be honest, that was the main biggest decision that went against us. The con chance at 3 points up was crucial too. Shane Murphy's save onto the crossbar. It was a massive swing. Kerry got a 2-pointer at the far end. Huge.
It was nearly as good as your man catching the ball up in the Hogan stand, wasn't it?
Moment of the weekend. Cartock Van Bronock. He caught the video of it. Did you see this?
Uh-huh.
Clifford booting the ball from pitch kick. Level. It was unbelievable. Up the but the catch, lads.
Yeah,
go look it up.
I had a lot of time to see it.
It was a sensational
thing.
Did you ever Brennan sign him up?
It's like something you see in the baseball maybe, isn't it?
Yeah,
it was cool. I loved it. We got 90 seconds left, Steve, but what else can you fill us in on, please?
Great stuff. Well, listen, WSL side London City Lionesses have signed Mappy Leon after she left Barcelona on a 3-year contract. She'll join up with her old clubmate Alexia Putellas, who joined the Lionesses last week. Yannick Sinner, the 10th men's singles champion, to successfully defend his title yesterday. He added another Grand Slam to his collection with a 3-set-1 win over Germany's Alexander Zverev. Linda Noskov, of course, the new Wimbledon women's champion after she won the final Saturday against fellow Czech Karolina Mukova. And Rico Ioane, he's been drafted in as cover for New Zealand in the final game of their first block of fixtures in the Nations Championship. The All Blacks will welcome Ireland to Eden Park as they look to continue their 32-year unbeaten run at their home venue.
Stephen Doyle, thank you very much. Arthur D, I think you'll be popping back in a little later. Lovely. Fiona Hayes is up next talking rugby. The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect. 50 milligram film coated tablets contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. A maximum dosage of 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation. Now, it's time for the cash machine.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, Trying to find a needle in a haystack? Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.